Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake BJ Shay is on assignment, and running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hi.
Hello. It is Monday, and that doesn't mean anything other than the fact that we got some special guests on today. A very good friend of the show is back with another writing adventure to talk about something in the cyberpunk horror sci-fi genres. And then, of course, we will get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Just search BJ Shay's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yes, so many ways to get a hold of us, and or even just listen to us. Check out that Odyssey app, audacy.com. It's a great way to find us, and all sorts of different things out there if you want to listen to those. And, you know, without any further ado, let's get right into this. We have our guests on the line, and I'm really excited for this. With me today, I'm very excited because I think the last time I had this writer on, this YouTube personality, this amazing person that I've known, gosh, for I don't want to put it into years at this point in time, but it was the last time we had Christina Horner on. It was to talk about her 84th Street Press Monday Night Series anthology, Boys Book Clubs and Other Bad Ideas, I believe, right, Christina?
That is correct. Yeah, it was actually just about a year ago.
Yeah, and since then, with 84th Street, you put out Boys Book Clubs and Other Bad Ideas, and then also The Mistletoe Paradox, and I love it because you never stop putting things together. I love the fact that you're always working on something, and you're back this time with something called Obsolescence, a dark sci-fi, fantasy, and horror anthology, and actually, this is a collaborative effort with you, and who did you bring with us today?
So I brought my longtime internet collaborator and friend, Alan Lestefka, to help me talk about our new project.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Alan, how's it going, dude?
It's going really well. How are you?
I'm doing really good, and I'm really excited about this because once we get into the nitty-gritty of really what you're looking to put out here, it's really interesting to me. I mean, especially I've grown up with the, you know, the cyberpunk, dystopian, dark future sort of things, and it seems that this is going to be playing into the technology side, but in the fun way of having it as an anthology series, which means a whole bunch of different collaborators. Am I right?
Exactly. Yes.
That is great. So how did this come to be for you?
Well, I published my first novel earlier this year, and with that started a small press to publish it. So it's self-published or indie published. And I'm a very slow writer, so if I want anyone to remember that I exist by the time my second book comes out, I needed other projects to kind of fill in that space. And I've always been a huge fan of anthologies, both anthology movies and anthology books. I love that you can get a bunch of different stories, either all on the same topic or all in the same universe. And I thought, you know, this would be a really fun project to work on. I could do, you know, some cool things with some cool people. And that's when I started brainstorming the ideas for this and reached out to Christina to invite her to work with me. You know, when I first started this, I talked to an editor of another anthology, and she told me that for the 1 month that they were open for submissions, they had over 700 submissions.
Oh,
and
no.
I knew I couldn't read that many by myself, so it was time to start looking for a collaborator. And as Christina mentioned earlier, we've worked on projects on and off over the last 14 years together, kind of met on YouTube and just in that space of collaborative online video. And then that, you know, evolved into working on some music projects together and now some writing projects.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And like, Christina, how does something like this, because this seems a little bit different from what you've done with 84th Street Press so far.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I have this sort of almost like, I don't know if Jekyll and Hyde is the right example, but like I do have this sort of like very opposite set of work that's, I guess, in my body of work. So generally, like what I'm known for is, you know, writing and cultivating a community kind of in the young adult space. You know, I read a lot of young adult. Most of the things I write in terms of, I guess, like long form fiction novels are in the young adult middle grade genre. Mm-hmm. But I have in the past couple of years done a number of freelance writing projects for various role-playing games and whatnot.
Oh.
And they're all sort of in the like dark horror twisted genre. I've written for Vampire the Masquerade, and I've written for Cult and a few other projects, and they're all this like really, it feels really off brand for me, but it's actually been really fun to sort of like, I don't know, explore a new genre and get to flex sort of a different muscle. And so, yeah, I don't know. This project just felt like a really good continuation of that trend, I guess. and when Alan first pitched the idea to me, I really got like Twilight Zone and sort of Black Mirror vibes. And I have been like a lifelong fan of those types of shows. So, yeah, I'm really excited about this and, you know, the chance to continue to branch out.
And I mean, that's really one of the big scary things about with technology in general. And if people want to check this out, first off, you can go to our website, our Facebook page, because we're sharing it all out there. But if you search on Kickstarter, it's Obsolescence, a dark sci-fi fantasy and horror anthology, and also obsolescencebook.com to get all of that information. And it's one of those things where you look at how technology has evolved, even in our lifetime. And I think I'm a little bit older than you guys, but not by much. But you guys have still seen how quickly it's evolved. And a lot of the times, not even in real life, for good. And so we're seeing that kind of play out. Do you feel that when either looking at submissions from people or even writing your own fiction, that sometimes it's easier to kind of even just pull from like the real world coming out right now?
Oh, definitely. You know, we've already gotten one of the submissions from our featured authors, and you know, it was a really scary story about how much we're willing to give up for convenience. And I feel that, you know, almost daily, some of the either privacy concerns or financial concerns that you're willing to just give up to get it faster or get it now or get it easier. So yeah, I think real life influences a lot of the stories that we're going to get for this anthology.
Definitely. I also like, I don't know, I have this box in my office that just has like, I don't know, a collection of old cell phones and like floppy disks I can no longer get the content off of. And I feel like you can just dig around in that kind of like, I can dig around in that box and just get inspired by, you know, some spooky elements of the fact that I have this like technology graveyard just in my room, you know. So I'm very excited to see all the different ways that people interpret this prompt and you know how it all kind of comes together.
Well, and you just mentioned that I was digging around in my attic and I found a tower of CDs from the first podcasts I'd ever put together. So these are like on CDs burned to like wave files, so it's like one episode is like an entire like CD track. And it's terrifying to think, it's me, but it's me from like 15 years ago. Like, what's the difference there? Like, that is a horror story in itself, to be perfectly honest.
Definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the people who you have managed to bring along with this, some of the featured authors that you have.
Sure. We have 11 of them. So there's going to be 20 stories overall. 11 are going to be from the featured authors, and then 9 are going to be from open submissions. So just general public can submit stories as well. But we have a couple. I mean, all of them are very exciting in different ways. But we have Adam Caesar, who wrote Clown in a Cornfield. And that book did really well. It's been optioned for a film. And he just wrote a sequel to it, Clown in a Cornfield 2. That'll be out later this month. So that's exciting. We have a couple authors who are just going to be breaking their debut novels next year. So Johnny Compton has a novel coming out next year called The Spite House. That'll be his debut. He's published a lot of short stories, which is how I found him through some of his shorts. But this will be his first novel. And Ai Zhang, she's publishing her first book next year as well. So yeah, there's a lot of really cool writers doing some really great work. Gabino Iglesias, his book, The Devil Takes You Home, was released this month and is actually a Book of the Month selection.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is just huge. Yeah, that goes out to 250,000 people.
We didn't know until I'm pretty sure that it launched like right before or even the same day as our first, as our Kickstarter.
Yeah, it was right around that time, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm an avid Book of the Month subscriber, and so I went to look at my picks for the month and was like, wait a minute, I know this author. So yeah, it's been some fun surprises along the way.
That's amazing, just like to have that sort of like everything just kind of coming together at the same time sort of thing at that point in time, because especially with like an anthology series, and I mean, you're talking about 20 different stories by 20 different authors. And what that means is, like you've talked about, like with anthologies, you get a taste of what this author can offer, and it's in the same genre, so you know, hey, I'm into this sort of thing, but maybe this will lead you to wanting to find more authors, different authors, or even like a different genre, because this might not be the same genre that they're normally writing out there.
I'm really excited about, because I think there's a lot of people who, if they haven't read a lot of fantasy or sci-fi or horror, I feel like these are all genres that can kind of have a knee-jerk reaction where people might think like, oh, I don't read that. But I'm really hoping that there's enough variety in this anthology that, you know, maybe people will give, you know, a genre that they aren't used to reading a chance and find out that there's actually something there for them. And hopefully, you know, there's at least, you know, a story or two in there for everyone, or hopefully they like all of them.
And then moving, I mean, even along the lines of like looking at the Kickstarter, there's plenty of rewards you can do. Obviously, you can pledge without a reward if you want to, but you can get a digital e-copy all the way up to, you know, paperbacks, hardcovers, the limited edition, different versions of the slip cases. Like there's a lot of different things that people can go if they're going to check out this Kickstarter, which is always fun because you want to be able to get something that is unique, but at the same point, you're still getting the same thing everyone gets, even if you go down to the PDF file.
Right. Yeah. No, we definitely wanted to offer different perks at different levels. And, you know, one of the cool things about the Kickstarter is that anyone who backs that will get the book 3 months before anyone else can, before it's publicly released. So it really is something special for the backers of like, you know, not only do you get these really cool rewards to choose from, but you're also going to be able to read it months in advance of everyone else. And I know as somebody who enjoys ARC copies of books that, you know, reading before it comes out to the public always feels a little special.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was just like with anything, it's like getting in their firsties is usually the best part about all of it when it comes down to it.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of cool perks on the Kickstarter that I'm super excited about. I'm going to let Alan talk about, you know, like the book plates and having various authors put your name in their story. But I wanted to talk about my favorite perk, which is called Dearly Departed. So Alan and I are going to co-write a companion story that will come in a zine that, you know, we just didn't want to put our own story in this book and take the spot that, you know, we could put another author. But we wanted to get in on the fun. And so there's only one available in the Dearly Departed level. And if you back at that level, we will murder you in our story.
Whoa, look at that.
In some fun, gruesome, horrific way. And so I'm really excited for that one, and I really hope someone picks it.
And the entertaining part about that is if you're not a huge fan of like the horror genre, that might be something you're like, oh my god, why would I want that? But as a person who has been murdered in a comic book, it's amazing. It's really cool to be able to see and insert yourself into that story in like the safest way possible, because it's not real.
yeah, exactly. We'll have a lot of fun with that one, I'm sure.
That is super cool. I love that. And tell us, Alan, a little bit about like the book plates and such.
Sure. So we have signed book plates. These are special like stickers that go inside the book. And then we have the authors hand signing those. So you can choose which of our featured authors you want to sign your book plates. We also have where you can have a name of either your own name or friend or family's name entered into somebody else's story. So they will write a character and name them after you or a name of your choosing. And that's always fun. Just kind of see it in print.
If you don't want to get murdered.
Yeah, potentially. I guess we don't know what's gonna happen to that character.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we also have some art prints, because while we do have three different hardcovers with the three different dust jackets, we know that that's a little expensive, and some people wouldn't want three copies of the same book because the insides are all the same. So we do have art prints of the three different covers that are available. Nice. So they're much cheaper to get that way, easier to display, easier to store. So that's my favorite perk, are the art prints. I can't wait to get those and frame them and put them on my wall.
Oh, they look so creepy and so cool. And people can check them out if they go to the Kickstarter or obsolescencebook.com. And like, seriously, like I was like looking through it, and it was one of those where the first one, you're like, okay, that it's super creepy. And then as it goes, each of them, like they took me aback a little bit, you know?
Good. That's the intended effect.
Exactly.
I love.
Yeah, we saved the really horrific ones for the limited exclusive editions that are just in the Kickstarter. Because we figure bookstores and libraries might not want to face those out on the shelves, so they got the standard cover, which is a little bit more, I guess, wholesome is probably the wrong word, but wholesome compared to the other two.
A little more palatable, maybe.
There you go.
And these exclusive covers. So one of them, you're only able to get these through the Kickstarter. One of them will be hand numbered, and then the other one will be hand lettered, and basically when they're gone, they're gone. So those are definitely super exclusive, but the art prints will still be available if people, you know, wish that they had them.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to go about it. And this is, again, like I said, this is happening on Kickstarter. Whenever you're listening to this episode, it goes until August 31st. So keep an eye out on it, and definitely check our website. But you can go to obsolescencebook.com to get all the information, how it's going, and see if you can back it before the Kickstarter is up. Another part about this that is really cool that I'm really excited about, too, is you have an alum from American Horror Story doing the foreword. How did this happen?
So I'm currently producing an indie horror film, Naomi Grossman from American Horror Story was cast in the film. And so as part of the meet and greets and that, you know, we were chatting, and I found out that she did writing in addition to acting. And so she showed me some of her writing, and I loved it, and then mentioned the anthology that I was working on and asked if she might want to write the introduction or foreword. And she was very excited to participate. So that was awesome.
Oh, that is awesome. I just seriously, like, I love the indie book writing. I love the indie filmmaking. Some of my favorite stuff has been indie filmmaking. And I mean, even with like Christina, that's essentially how we ended up even like coming together, through both your video gaming with like Team Hypercube, but also with Job Hunters. And so,
yeah,
like, having that and doing the indie filmmaking is some of my favorite stuff of all time, just because you can bring that. And I just love the fact that that's bringing all of this together.
Yeah, it really worked out well. And like, this will be my first experience with an indie film. I've done a lot of online videos. I was on YouTube, you know, 15 years ago. But yes, this is my first foray into actual filmmaking. And it's been quite the experience so far.
That is awesome. I love all of that stuff. And I mean, seriously, like the creativeness between all of this, I'm very excited to see what's going to be happening with Obsolescence. Before we get out of here, now, there's always, like, Christina, you talked about your treasure trove, your mausoleum of cell phones out there. Is there is there technology out there, for whatever reason, both of you, that really is like the ultimate creep out sort of factor at this point in time, like the things that really kind of creep you out? Because I'll be perfectly honest, targeted ads creep me out a lot. And it's just the simple fact of the matter is I can just be talking with somebody, and then all of a sudden everything just starts popping up what I was talking about. That is really like just the fact that everyone's listening all the time, and that we've all just accepted that. That's kind of my whole Black Mirror fear moment sort of thing. Do you guys have anything along those lines?
I mean, it's funny because I'm the exact opposite. I love targeted ads because then I make sure I don't miss anything that I truly want. You know, anytime a new artist that I enjoy puts out a new album or a new film is coming out, I'm, you know, they've got me down. They've got me pegged, and I'm always shown things that I wish I would have seen. So, but I think for me, the thing, deepfake Ooh. Video, and that's gotten so good, and that, you know, you have no control over somebody else using your likeness and your personality and your voice. It's just that creeps me out the most.
That's fair.
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I don't know. I listen to a lot of like true crime podcasts and stuff, and so the concept of like, I don't know, just your phone is just tracking like everything. This is similar to yours, I guess, but like your phone is just tracking everything you do and everywhere you go, and you could basically download like a map of like your whole life, basically. Like, there's just so much information. Like, if you really did want to like disappear, it'd be very hard. It'd be very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, on the opposite side, I mean, if you're listening to all that true crime stuff, you kind of realize that, well, You kind of hope it would dissuade people just because of the fact how easy it is to get caught nowadays. But yeah, like, I guess there's so many true crime podcasts out there because, I mean, people don't really realize that, I guess. So I don't know if that's any sort of solace there at that point in time. Actually, you know what actually really freaks me out? I'm going to be perfectly honest now. Those robot dogs from Boston Dynamics. Like, I'm going to be honest with that. And I think it was because of Black Mirror. I'm not going to lie. Just like that whole episode where they were being chased by the robot dogs. And then all of a sudden they were like, I think this is a good idea. Let's make these.
Yeah, or the robot dogs that they've now attached, like, machine guns to the top of, and it's like, wait, what?
Just the way they move, like, I guess, like, yeah, as like, AI and, like, robotics get more and more advanced, like, I don't know, it's creepy to not know, like, I don't know, when things get too human-looking, it's just like, ugh, I don't know about that.
And I've literally recently just gone back and watched The Terminator, both T1 and T2, and let me tell you know, that's not really the future I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
But to be honest, I'm cool with like watching it and also reading it. So something like Obsolescence is going to be great. And I'm really excited to see how this is going to come out. Like I've stated before, Obsolescence is on Kickstarter right now. If you go to obsolescencebook.com, you can get all the information. And this ends on the 31st of August. So you've got a couple of weeks as of this recording to check it out. Definitely check out all of this stuff and see what's going on with it. Christina, Alan, seriously, guys, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having us on the show. And I just wanted to add that open submissions will stay open until September 16th. So that's a few weeks after the Kickstarter ends. So if you've got an idea, if you feel inspired by what we were talking about in this episode, you can check out our website, obsolescencebook.com, and submit a story of your own, and maybe you'll get picked.
And as of this date that we have put out this podcast on the 15th, it is available to do open submissions. So do check all of that out. Thank you so much again, obsolescencebook.com, where you can get the information, or just search even just for our page, the Facebook page for BJ Shays Geek Nation. We got the link up there as well for the Kickstarter, and you've got until the end of the month. And now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, what's going on?
Searching through the Facebooks, because that's what I do most.
Are we
day.
Looking at memes again?
Always. But also articles. Sometimes there's some good stuff. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Am I the A-hole subreddits and posts
those
and stuff.
Ones, yeah, those ones are always super intriguing because most of the time, yes, you are the A-hole.
I like to listen to them, too. If you go to YouTube, you can find a whole bunch of people reading them, which might be a thing I do someday. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Because I like to listen to them when I'm doing stuff. It feels like someone's in the room. I'm basically a more complicated chihuahua.
Not wrong.
But I did come across this article where it's 25 actors who seemed to be miscast when they first announced it.
Oh.
But they ended up killing it.
Oh, okay. Well, I have one in my brain right away.
Okay.
And I don't know if this will be a number one, but it was a big one because I'm really glad that Twitter wasn't around in the mid-90s. Because when they announced that they were doing Interview with the Vampire and that they said that Tom Cruise would be the vampire Lestat, people literally lost their minds because they're like, Tom Cruise is too pretty. Oh, he's just a dumb, boring, big budget actor. He can't do this thing. And then even Anne Rice, who did not like him to do that, had to kind of eat crow and be like, no, he's really good. He's really good at this.
Guys,
and he was a fantastic Lestat. He was an amazing Lestat.
I will say he is not on this list.
Interesting.
However, this came from like a Reddit thread where they were asking like what are people's opinions? What did like they think? And Ask Reddit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, or like the one that got like I guess the most votes and stuff, was Patrick Warburton in A Series of Unfortunate Events. I didn't realize he was in this one.
Oh, I was about to say, if they say it's because of him in The Tick, I'm like, you're wrong.
No.
Because he's amazing.
He's amazing in everything.
That's what I thought. Like, yeah, he should never be miscast in anything.
Yeah, like I'm guessing he was probably a little bit more serious. Like Lemony Snicket, I'm guessing this is the one with Jim Carrey, the OG one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never saw it. I can't really say.
No, it's the Netflix adaptation.
Really? The one with
Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, Neil Patrick Warburton.
I mean, I'm here for it. I'm always here for Patrick Warburton. I love his voice.
Yeah, that's surprising. Yeah.
The next one that was very highly voted is one that I mean, I never really had an opinion on it because I was a little kid and this was what it was. This is who he is. Him and Val Kilmer. Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah.
I was too little to really... Well,
and I was too young really to even get into like figuring out why people were mad about it. But I have read about this in the past. And it essentially is he doesn't have the physique of a Batman.
Which, I mean, doesn't really matter because you got the rubber suit.
Exactly. And that was the thing, too. It was just that, like, oh, well, he was an okay Bruce Wayne, but how is he going to do all the action scenes?
And I think what one Redditor commented, it's like, I remember reading that his Beetlejuice performance sealed the deal because they saw him doing angry scenes. So I'm guessing, like, beforehand, he might have, like, I remember he did, what was it, Duplicity or something like that?
Yeah.
And Mr. Mom or something like that. So I'm
wondering, a lot of comedies and stuff. So they were just like, can he even do a serious role?
That makes sense.
And then absolutely he did.
Do you have one that off the top of your head or are you still thinking?
I can't think of one. The problem is I'm just so used to people being who they are after they get a role. I'm trying to think of one that would be miscast.
I know a lot of people were freaked out with like Heath Ledger when they first announced him being Joker, and now like everyone just obsessively like only Heath Ledger.
Because that came off of the heels of Brokeback Mountain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, he can only play this one character. And you're like, no, he's an actor. Like, he can play a lot of different characters. That's what actors do.
Romantic teen comedy with 10 Things I Hate About You. He could do everything.
Yeah.
R.I.P. A lot of these are going to be actors who we've seen in like comedic roles take on a non-comedic role.
Ooh, so maybe like a Jim Carrey or something in, I'm trying to think of a couple of the movies that he was in. Like, I know like The Majestic didn't do very good, but a lot of people did actually like that one. And that was a bit of a more serious role for him.
So this person writes, I thought that Jim Carrey in The Truman Show must have been an error because he's a comic. But in the end, I was so wrong that I was I reviewed all my life choices and felt like the worst human being in existence. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which in Italy is called If You Leave Me, I Delete You, was the same thing except better. Incredible movie. Every time I hear that Alexander Pope quote, I begin crying. My thing with like, I love it when I see a comedian or like a comedic actor play a serious role, I'm more intrigued. And I really want to watch Fargo for that reason because of Chris Rock.
Yeah. And I haven't seen the season with him in it. Actually, I think I watched the first episode, then I forgot to go back and watch it. But he is menacing and it's cool. And I do love Fargo, like all of the different seasons and the movie and all of it. Like it's done so well that you really do enjoy what's going down.
And I think I saw that as a joke. Keery is going to possibly be in Fargo in the next season, I believe.
Oh, I don't even know.
Which we remember, obviously, from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that'd be cool.
Another one on this list. Do you guys watch Parks and Rec?
I did, but it's along the same lines of like The Office.
Mm-hmm.
I get like this anxiety and this like secondhand embarrassment for all the idiot characters. Like, you mean well, but you're just an absolute idiot. And like with The Office with like Steve Carell, like the first episode, I'm like, I can't handle this. I'm out. I cannot do this.
Well, the one they're saying is Rob Lowe as Chris Trigger. And the thing is, like, Rob Lowe has said that, like, he is a pretty face. He's like, I am a comedic actor in a leading man body.
Yeah.
Because he's well-shaped, even to this day, like, he's an older man.
He's
like,
a beautiful man.
He's still a very beautiful man. but he is really, really funny, and it's nice to see him not be a bad guy, because I remember seeing him as a bad guy. Black Sheep or was it Tommy Boy? One of the two.
He was one of those. Also in Wayne's World, too.
That's right.
It was Wayne's World as well. It was the first Wayne's World.
Yes. Like, he's the good-looking bad guy.
Yeah.
But, like, I love seeing him as, like, a good-looking, comedic, but sweet guy. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fun, too. Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash in Walk the Line. And I think a lot of people were freaking out over Joker as well.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, Joker was great. It was a good movie that I'll see once. I feel that the sequel that it's been put out there was a joke in itself. I don't think it's real until I see it. And then even when I'm watching it, I'm going to be like, this isn't real. They're still pranking me at this point because it's a musical with Lady Gaga. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe
it'll be amazing. Who knows?
See.
Yeah. I have very little faith.
John Travolta as Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction.
And that was the resurgence of his career because he was doing the Look Who's Talking movies.
Oh, I love those movies.
Which are fantastic, but Well, I mean,
the third one was okay.
Was that one the one with pets?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I remember that one. But it was like he was in those types of movies at that point in time.
I just realized that Pulp Fiction is not the first movie he was with Bruce Willis in. It was Look Who's Talking.
Oh my gosh.
Bruce Willis did the voice of the baby.
That's right. Weird.
Mind blown.
And then he gets killed by him in the movie. Wow. Wow. That is the circle of life right there.
Anywho. Matt Damon is Jason Bourne.
Yeah, because again, the same thing. He doesn't quite look like an action star.
And what didn't you do, like, Good Will Hunting and all that before Jason Bourne?
It was very serious stuff. It's like, how is this guy going to be an action person? And then you're like, oh, very well. He was really good at it.
Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard in the Star Trek sequels, which somebody says, I recall some interview regarding Patrick Stewart's shiny dome. And one of the producers asked him, he's like, by the 24th century, wouldn't they have a cure for baldness?
It's like, yeah, but they wouldn't worry about it.
And yeah, and the reply summed up the idealism of Star Trek pretty well. It's like, by the 24th century, no one cares if you're bald.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even remember. I think they did some interview or something with a bunch of the cast. I think actually Riker was supposed to be the captain. They all interviewed for all the different parts because that's what you do.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were like, well, we like Patrick Stewart better, but can we get away without a wig? And then they put him in a wig and they're like, wow.
Like, you can Google image search the wig shots and they just like, having him being bald is the same thing as you're like, I can't see a person in that role. It's like, I can't see that man with hair. I just can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're mm-hmm. like, no, just get rid of it. It's fine.
So can you see Vin Diesel with hair or...
I've never done that. I don't even want to Google that one.
Oh, he's got like curly, curly hair, like like really thick hair.
Oh, just keep it shaved, please.
Because he's of African American descent.
Oh, I didn't. Oh,
like,
wow.
Like I think a small amount or a quarter, something like that. But yeah, he's got that kind of hair, and it's awesome.
He is Groot.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of today I learned
in
this one.
There's a video of him with hair break dancing back in the day, like a break dancing tutorial movie or video. Yeah, pretty awesome.
All right.
Another comedian turned more of a serious is Will Ferrell in Stranger Than Fiction. I started to watch that and then I gave up.
I didn't like that one. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't like Will Ferrell as a leading man. I think he is great as like a side, like he's kind
or
of
a
like
duo.
Yeah. Like, I feel that he's like a good mashed potatoes, but you need a person to be a good steak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just don't want, I don't want him to be the main focal character. The only one that is a difference to that is Anchorman, because I think he's really good as Ron Burgundy in the first movie. I don't know about the second movie. But it's like one of those where it's just like, he's good for a little bit of flavoring, but
Unless it's voice acting, then I think he kills it. I loved Megamind.
Fair enough.
As well as, I really like it. It's one of the dumbest movies he did, but it's one of my favorite of his movies, which was Blades of Glory.
I think so. It was the ice skating one with John Heater.
Like every single one of his movies are pretty much the same, whether it's basketball, NASCAR, whatever. But I never really saw Talladega Nights, so I don't have that love like everyone else has for it.
Yeah, Blades of Glory. You are correct on that one. Yeah. Yep.
This one I really want to see because I've gotten to do a little bit of research. By research, I mean listening to Bailey Sarian's murder mystery and makeup on her is Charlize Theron as Eileen Wuornos.
Oh, that was
Monster.
Yeah, Monster. And that I just remember is because like, oh, Charlize Theron is
She's
so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And then they made her look really bad.
Oh, yeah. She
like
gained,
fake teeth and stuff.
Yeah, she gained like 30 pounds for it and shaved her eyebrows. Or at least dyed them very light.
Shaving your eyebrows will go a real long way to make you look
very
alien.
Gaining 30 pounds is hard, too.
Oh, yeah, true, too.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm just like, eyebrows are horrifying if you don't have them. You're like, you're fat.
And she got really a lot of recognition for that role, too. So, she can do anything. She's amazing.
All right, one more.
Okay, how about this one? I like this one. David Tennant as Purple Man and Jessica Jones. Because everyone was so used to him being like goofy Doctor Who, but not a bad guy. Not to like, I mean, the purple, like the character, it worked for him, but he truly was evil in like a weird, childish way.
Yes.
Because he was always so used to getting what he wanted. And so why can't I?
Because you can just tell someone to do something and they do it. Yes, I would absolutely abuse that. This is why you don't give me superpowers.
Right.
And you see that.
But he's had that since he was a kid. So in a weird way, he still had the mind of a kid.
He's never grown up from that because he always gets what he wants.
But he was still like, it's weird because it's like, you're not pure evil because you didn't know better, but you're still pure evil because you did some heinous things.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah,
that one. And you know what? Oh, man, maybe I should go back. I really did love him in that. Mm-hmm. I think Jessica Jones was a really, really good series, and I kind of hope they bring her back for stuff.
Same. Even if it's just like, if they do Defenders, maybe even switch out, maybe not have Iron Fist, and just... Yep. I just want to see her back. She was fantastic.
100%.
You can check out the rest of the list. I'll post it on our Facebook page. And until next time, stay nerdy.